Welcome to La Liga Weekly, our first podcast in the, quote, business end of the season. And there is, you know, well, let's pretend, everything to play for. Real Madrid's defeat at Mallorca was in many ways a triumph, demonstrating that this is the only football club in the world that's too grand to expect any sort of defensive structure. You want the players to consider the possibility that the other team could get the ball and attack? Defeatism. Sack him. Well, they've been European champions 15 times, so who am I to question? They play Bayern Munich tonight, so I don't want to be a hostage to fortune because no club has ever randomly won more games of football than Real Madrid. Barca's victory at Atleti brings us back to another modern staple of a couple of blokes talking themselves round in circles about red cards. But it's a red card these days, but last week you just said you didn't want that sort of thing to be a red card, etc., etc. What we can guarantee you on this podcast is that every week I'll call at least one La Liga player an idiot for getting himself sent off. Yes, Nico. We've still got the battle for fifth. If the La Liga clubs do well in Europe again in this round of games, then we can rebrand that as the battle to see who will embarrass themselves in the Champions League next season. And we've still got the relegation. There are even faint signs of life in Oviedo after successive home wins, the latest of which leaves Sevilla in the mire. It's high time they sack their manager, whoever he is. Terry Gibson's the most reluctant frequent flyer around. The championship on Friday and Monday, squeezed in between the two biggest games in La Liga in this round of games. Are you exhausted, Terry?
No, I'm okay, actually. I'm just relieved that because there's a lot of detail. When I was asked to do the two championship games, I didn't know which games I was going to be doing in Spain. So I committed to the two championship games and thought if push comes to shove, I can ask if I can swap games and mess people about a little bit. But then luckily, I didn't have to. So it worked out perfectly. No issues with the travelling. And I'm back again on Friday this week because it's Real Madrid Girona.
Yeah, I think you did call that West Brom winger Lamine Yamal. But apart from that, it was absolutely flawless. shall we get on with the business? Because we're doing this Tuesday, late morning, and Real Madrid play again in a few hours. So we need to sort of get on with it. Shall we start with that? We'll always like to start with the bad news. After all, we work in the media. This is how it works. So Mallorca 2, Real Madrid 1. And I know, never hold me by what I put in those intros, but I do watch Real Madrid. I find it endlessly frustrating, I think, that they're not more organised. There's not a bit more of a structure. And I know there's the counter to that of, you know, it's not really what people watch Real Madrid for, but it does leave them wide open. I mean, the first goal they conceded on this, when you watch it back on the highlight, it looks like there's a counter-attack on. Looks like they've just had possession turned over, but they haven't. They're just no one's in a defensive position. And Mallorca just, you know, Milanes, and he just runs through into the penalty area. And it was, oh, no, what's he doing there?
And he had a chance just before that as well. A sitter, 6-yard box, header. It bounced up in the air, and I think he was wary of Lunin coming out and clattering him, so he headed it over the bar. That should have been a warning. But you're correct. I mean, it's Mallorca didn't have many attacks, but when they did, there was always a threat. So you're probably talking about half a dozen decent attacks from Mallorca. They scored two goals. They should have scored another one. And you do look around and you think, well, where is he? Why is, you know, where's the tracking back from a midfield player? Because Milanes was playing midfield. No one was tracking him on the goal that the chance he missed and the goal. And that was just how Real Madrid... I kind of get why they conceded the second goal, because Militao equalises. It then appeared, it was an onslaught, and it appeared that... And Real Madrid have to win that game. You know, a draw, avoid defeat, that's fine, but they need to keep the pace with Barcelona. It was played before Barcelona were playing Atletico Madrid. So I get why they went all out to get the winner. And I thought it was going to happen. I thought this is classic Real Madrid. They've equalised in the 88th minute, and there was 6 or 7 minutes added on, plenty of time for them to get the winner. And then lo and behold, football, it just, every now and then, it gives you all the things you kind of forget when you're analysing games and you're watching games and you're thinking this is predictable, that's predictable. Out of nowhere, Mallorca attack. And then, because Real Madrid were fully committed to getting a winning goal, there was a lack of bodies, and Amorici finished it off superbly well. And it kind of, he was very emotional when he scored. I understand that. He complained about the week or two that he's had with missing the penalty against Elche. going out in the World Cup playoffs. And for him to get the winner was, I mean, it's his 19th goal of the season. He's only four behind Mbappe.
It's done amazingly well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Richie, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I was going to raise that we had to talk about him, because when he first came, I didn't really know him from Italy, because he hadn't really played much for Lazio.
No.
And I remember thinking, he's actually good, isn't he? And
yeah.
We have that slight prejudice these days about a big, strong number nine, don't we?
Yeah.
He's all right, that fella, actually, isn't he?
And he's one of those players, John, I think, that wouldn't look out of place. It could easily play for one of the big clubs as a plan B.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And because his touch is good, his movement is good, he works hard, he's got great attitude, he's got all the obvious attributes of a traditional centre-forward. And you know, we saw Hossolu, he was one of those players that got the rare opportunity to step up from Espanyol and then ends up playing for Real Madrid, and everyone agrees that, well, he was good. He was a plan B. He wasn't better than Benzema, and he wasn't this and he wasn't that, but they needed him at times. And Marici he's really talented, really good. And I think because of the nature that he comes across as a really decent guy, a really good teammate. I think there was an element, I know Real Madrid fans won't agree, but with the week or two that he had, it was quite kind of poetic justice that he did get his moment of another moment of glory for him. I mean, Yorker were good, though. I mean, De Michelis has got them organised. They know what they're doing. They've one or two issues defensively in terms of players missing and being injured. Omar Mascarell had to play centre-back, which is not ideal. So it's, you know, it was no Antonio Rayo, it was Valiente and Mascarell. They weren't troubled by Real Madrid. And Mbappe had some good chances in the first half down the left flank. It was interesting where he played. They didn't play with a centre-forward. And with Vinicius missing or being rested, Mbappe took it upon himself to go and play his favourite left-side position, which meant Brahim Diaz was kind of the false nine. Brahim Diaz hasn't scored this season. It's been a weird season for him because I think he's good. He's a wide player or a number 10. He's not centre forward. And he was left out of the team for a long time. And it wasn't until the media got involved and said, what's wrong with Brahim? Because he did so well in AFCON. I know the big story is missing the penalty, but in general, he was arguably the player of the tournament. Then, because the media complained, suddenly he was back in the team again. And it seems that seems to be with Arbeloa, that if he can't, I wouldn't say buckles, that's too strong a word, but if the media do make, you know, question things, he goes, oh, there's nothing wrong. And next thing you know, Brahim Diaz is playing on a regular basis. I get why players, Vinicius was rested. I thought he should have come on at half-time. I thought changes should have been made at half-time. And Arbeloa didn't. And when he did, it was kind of too late, to be honest. So it was, a risky choice. I mean, he's over-egging it, I think, with the young players. I mean, Thiago Pitarch was left out on this one. Presumably, he might be involved against Bayern Munich. Manuel Angel came in and played when, you know, there was other players that could have played. So I think he probably took a risk there. And as I say, that my feelings was, the mistake was not making changes at half-time. And maybe Danny Carvajal should have been on the pitch. Interesting footage of him after the game, sitting there, he was fuming. Just sitting on the bench. Everyone else had gone in. And he was fuming. I'm presuming he's fuming with the fact that a league title might be slipping away. And the fact that he didn't get on. He wasn't on the pitch. And I think it's an error, to be honest, that he's now fit, played in the derby and they won, and then he was left out. So the only reason he played in the derby allegedly was because Trent Alexander-Arnold was late for a training session. And I think that Real Madrid are better defensively with Danny Carvajal in.
Yeah, so Bayern Munich to come. Let's not dwell too much on it, because obviously by the time some people listen to this, we might know. Might have won 4-0, might have lost 4-0, who knows? I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, with Real Madrid. I mean, Bayern, we know, having a terrific season, banging in goals all over the place, super players, so you can't take them lightly. I mean, how much faith have you got in Arbeloa?
It's still a question mark, I think. I mean, prior to this, they lost to Getafe at home. They won five games on the trot, big games. They won a derby. They beat Manchester City twice, so things were going in the right direction. I don't want to be too critical just because of this one game. He is blessed now with players coming back from injury. So the subs at the weekend, Vinicius came on, Bellingham came on, so Bellingham's now fit. Militao comes on and scores a goal. Is it too soon to play Militao from the start against Bayern Munich? It probably is, to be honest. So I think it'd be Rüdiger and Hassan. So he's blessed now with players coming back from injury, and it's whether he can pick the right team and the right tactics to face Bayern. That's the qu next question mark for Arbeloa. But this was it was a poor performance. That was the problem. It looked disjointed. It was. There's too much, and I keep saying it, and I don't want to be repetitive. Everything is down the left, and yet Trent Alexander-Arnold was in acres of space all day long down the right flank, and was ignored until Jude Bellingham came on, and Jude Bellingham started passing to him. So it's and Jude Bellingham, for once in his Real Madrid career, played on the right. He never plays on the right, but he kind of edged out towards the right. So it kind of looks like players are going on and doing their own thing.
and he's passing to his English mate. It's like, oh, no one
Exactly.
else is passing to him. Oh, I'll pass to him. He's a good
Yeah,
lad.
people passed to Bellingham, and then he was passing to Alexander Arnold. Whereas prior to that, no, it was on all day long. But in fairness, two or three times that Trent Alexander Arnold did have it, the crossing was poor. A couple went beyond the goal. A couple went over the top of everyone. I just wished he was more assertive. I'm pretty sure if Danny Carvajal had been in those positions, someone would have passed to him. But they didn't in this game until Bellingham came on and started shoving it out wide and giving it to Trent Alexander-Arnold. His starting position is very, very high. It's almost like a right-sided midfield player, right winger, which does leave them exposed when the ball gets that they face a counter-attack. So there's quite a few issues with Real Madrid, and you just never know with them. I mean, if Vinicius will start. Mbappe will start. Don't know who's going to play on the right side. Bellingham, I think, will start back in this game. So I don't know what that does to the rest of the midfield. Will he come in instead of Arda Güler? Will it be Tchouaméni and Camavinga play the weekend? So we're none the wiser, are we, to what Arbeloa actually wants to do. He'll use the reason that, well, I haven't had these players. So, I've got Bellingham back now, I've got Militao back, and I chose to rest Vinicius. So be interesting to see the lineup for Real Madrid against Bayern Munich.
Okay. We'll leave that discussion there because we'll discuss it. We're going to do it Thursday for Patreons. Patreon.com/LTEL. Thank you to all the Patreons. And because you're flying off to Madrid again on Friday morning, aren't you? So,
Yes.
yes, because they play Friday night. Suddenly a run of Real Madrid playing in
Yeah.
unusual time slots. Right, Barcelona are 7 points clear at the top of the league, despite falling behind away to Atleti in the Saturday night game. We will have to discuss a couple of red cards, but let's give it a bit of love, shall we? In fact, Alan is a Barcelona fan. Had a very good day of football on Saturday, he said. Yes. Right, his question. Why can't La Liga package this up for Sky on prime time evening viewing? This year's La Liga top head-to-heads, cup games included, easily outshine anything I've seen on a Super Sunday. And without knowing the rules of handball anymore, should Nico Gonzalez have walked for deliberately grabbing the ball out of the air? It seems to go against the spirit of the game to do that. Not to mention that Yamal was collecting that pass and driving at goal. Also thought Rashford looked so powerful and dangerous in all of his play. Watch out, Trent. Right, so we'll get to the red cards. Let's discuss the game, the entertainment. It was terrific.
Equality and quality as well. It really is. I mean, I've watched quite a bit of Premier League football lately, and I made the point in commentary, which Alan's talking about they deliver. The Clásicos deliver. The Madrid derbies deliver. In Barcelona against Atlético Madrid, that delivers. There's goals. It's top class football. It really is. I have to say that the first, I mean, this was with a much changed, Atleti have to take the credit for this as well in this game. A much changed Atletico Madrid team. We'll debate in a minute whether it's preferred to rest players at this stage of the season. We could look at Atleti now and think, well, it's been a while since they played the strongest team Haven't been playing much lately at all, because we go back to when they lost to Rayo Vallecano at Leganés. That was a B team for about a month now, 5 weeks. It's been they're pretty much all they've done is played a couple of their rain match against Barcelona and a Champions League the Champions League games against Spurs. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out, but very much looking forward to the two Champions League games between those two teams. So there was loads of changes for Atletico Madrid, which I expected. There's one or two, I think. Are they going to play in the next game? Lenormand, for instance, as centre back. Will Nahuel Molina play right back, or Marcos Llorente play midfield? Will Koke play, because he played in this one? Griezmann started, and didn't expect Griezmann to start, which probably means that it's going to be Soloth and Julian Alvarez against Barcelona. Giuliano Simeone played, but then I thought, well, he's a ball, he can play every day of the week if he wants. It's not a problem for him. So it's going to be interesting to see their lineup. And for the first 20 minutes, I don't think I've ever seen a professional footballer play, make every touch, dribble, pass, 10 out of 10. It was perfect. And I'm talking about Lamine Yamal. It wasn't just, we've all seen the skew around Nico Gonzalez, the outside of the foot pass to Fermín López. It was every touch he had, whether he was laying it off first time, he was giving goes, it was every dribble, no one tackled him. It was astonishing. But the quality in the match itself, I marvelled at it. I was looking at it thinking, this is brilliant. Atleti, but there are many changes, but they're still really good. Barcelona, both teams under fierce pressure from people closing them down. And yet people's first touch and the ability of someone like Pedri to get away from someone who was shutting him down quick. Giuliano Simeone was getting shut down, but still had the ability to get that touch and get it away and tear up the pitch. It was fabulous. So I agree totally. I mean, I think that the big games in La Liga at the moment, they have done for about 3 years now, 3 seasons. We don't get teams going there looking for clean sheets and a draw and it being a nice solid performance. It's all guns blazing and it is fabulous. I think we do have it on Premier Sports. This particular game wasn't, because it was on the Disney Channel, so that's tucked away. I think it is a league now that I kind of wished that it had more exposure. It's that good. I'm thoroughly enjoying the level of performances this season from the Liga clubs.
Technical points for people in the UK. If you've got your Sky subscription, your Disney Plus is now part of that. So you can just go on and you just have to activate it and register, and then you're in. So there's no extra money to be paid if you're a Sky subscriber. And you get to, I mean, this was actually a really good game on a Saturday night. They haven't all been.
No. And this was good because it's the first part of the trilogy. Did you see the exchange between Simeone and Hansi Flick at the end of the game? Fabulous. It says it up. Simeone, they shook hands. People know that winds me up. Simeone only shake hands with managers of big clubs. He doesn't shake hands with managers of small clubs. So he went across and shook hands with Hansi Flick and then went, but you've got to come back here. And Hansi Flick glared at him. Now, I don't know if Hansi Flick understood him. He probably understood that he got the meaning of the something that Simeone was saying. So the rivalry is there. And of course, we had the goals, fortunate goal for Barcelona to win it with. I thought I deserved to win it.
So, of that Lewandowski goal, give us a percentage. How much did he mean it?
No, I think he means it.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he knows he leans into it and he knows it's a risk because it's his arm and his shoulder, but he tries to get his chest on it. I think there's a definite reflex there of him changing direction of his body to get something on it. So I think he does mean it. It's just fortunate it just ricochets off the goalkeeper for Let Barcelona and Lewandowski straight into him. And he just has to react to make sure it doesn't hit him in the face, for instance, and not go anywhere. So it was a fortunate goal for Barcelona. As I say, I thought they deserved to win the game. But I thought Atleti were great, and it was tough for Atleti with, 10 men for so long.
So let's do it then. Red card for, well, Alan's point about sending him off for the handball. Please, no, Alan. I'm not sending people off on the halfway for.
What about if he caught it cleanly? Because he did, and then thought, I don't know what he's thinking. Well, I know what he's thinking. He had twisted blood from playing at left back because he's not a left back. He's now playing left back. Okay, I can do that job. Oh, you're against Lamine Yamal. Cheers. I've never played there before, or hardly ever played there. I might have played wing back, but I'm a winger. I'm a midfield player. I'm attacker. And then that's just bizarre when he grabs the ball and then it realizes, oh, I better drop it. I might get away with that. No, he may as well have had a pair of gloves on. And then he just, it was insane, the challenge
It was
that
ridiculous.
Leeds set a penalty. It was dreadfully hard commentating on that because we had no idea what was happening. And I think most people were confused when the referee started looking, because first of all, it was an offside to be looked at. And then we assumed, is it in the box or outside the box? And you know that debate is on the line. On the line is a
Because, and he,
penalty.
to be fair, he's moving so quickly,
It
isn't
was
he?
close,
There
yeah.
is a blur as to whether he's in or not,
So
but
we're
he's
looking
out.
at that, and then we're looking at the, so the offside must be okay because they're now looking at the penalty. Is it a penalty or a free kick? And then it was the upgrading, taking away the yellow and upgrading it to red, which I kind of get. At the time, I was irritated because it all took so long.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
And but it only, I'm not sure if it means any diff because the commentator that I was listening to said, "Oh, it'll be a three-match ban." It won't be a three-match ban.
It
It's a short
is,
one,
yeah.
is it?
I
But
think
it's
it
just
is.
for
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
I mean, it depends who you play for,
I
obviously.
think
But
he'd got a one game ban if it was a yellow, second yellow, but because it was a red, straight red, it's a
so the whole
three game
thing
ban.
took another 4 minutes or something, and all he's going off anyway because he's had the yellow card for the handball.
Yeah. He looked
So
confused. He was
yeah,
like,
so.
he thought he was coming back on at one
Yeah,
stage
so
when the
he's
ref
standing
went
there and he's
yellow,
off
no.
and he's off and he's on and he's like, well, you're going, mate. You might as well go and put your
Yeah.
tracksuit on because it's all the deciding is what grade of red card you're getting. And he went, took forever. Then the other one. So immediately after so that was late in the first half, wasn't it? And then immediately after,
Half
obviously,
time, yeah.
Gerard Martini is sent off. Right, should so this is the one I was talking about in the intro. It's one of these ones where you talk yourself around in circles. I don't think that is a red card challenge. But I understand. I predict that you will say yes, but these days they give those and they don't overturn them.
And we have seen them given. That's the problem for us all, not just the me, the mug sitting there on live TV making a mess of it all. We're all like it now. We, you know, the handball, is it handball? Is it not handball? And these challenges, when you see that still, the freeze frame, and his foot clatters into Thiago Almada, you're thinking, well, he's gone. It's that's what happens. Do I think it's a red card? No, I don't. He's clear. He's easily kicked the ball, so you
He
can't then
kicks the
slam the
ball.
brakes on with your foot.
It's not a dis what this is where the refereeing profession have gone wrong. There was this concept of in your day you had the decoy challenge where you'd go flying in, you'd take a little bit of the ball,
Yeah.
but what you knew you were doing all the time, you were getting bang you right through them with everything, and the ball was a decoy. You said, oh, you won't send me off because I took the
Yeah,
ball.
I touched it.
Yeah, but he kicks the ball, and he
Yeah.
doesn't kick the ball particularly cleanly, and then his foot has got to land somewhere.
Exactly. It's an occupational hazard. You do get kicked in football games, and it's not always a foul.
Yeah,
And
and it's painful
it is
sometimes.
painful. Yeah, but that's what happens. I mean, so it was one of those where, as I'm saying, I don't think the VAR will overturn it,
And
because
then they overturn it, and
we
I
have
get
seen
it.
loads. We've seen loads of those. We've seen. I mean, the Sevilla had a player sent off, Nianzou. It's very similar. I mean, he's not. It's not foul. He doesn't even know the player's there. So in Gerard Martin's case, it's a 50-50 challenge. He strikes the ball cleanly, and it's impossible then to stop the momentum of your foot going anywhere. And it's. I think eventually, I agree with the outcome, but I must admit, I'm pretty sure I've seen those challenges. You see the red
Well,
card
as you say, literally in the same
in La
weekend.
Liga.
Paul Campbell is one of our patrons. Ref had a shocker, as he put it.
That was the one decision, I think. I can make the same complaint about how many fouls there was and stuff like that, and how many times the referee stops the game. I think that's a general complaint I have about the style of refereeing. Mallorca Real Madrid was the same. Mallorca were getting frustrated because they're underdogs. They want to get stuck in. They want to be aggressive against Real Madrid, and they weren't allowed to be. So there's that style of refereeing. That's in this particular game. I can't remember too many other issues other than an obvious red sending off for Nico Gonzalez and the debatable red card that Gerard Martin had overturned.
Yes. Right. Okay. And obviously, they meet again on Wednesday night. So we'll get together and discuss that. Let's
Some
have
injury
another.
issues, wasn't there, for Barcelona as well in this match? Bernal picking up an injury, so that would be a blow. But Koundé came back as well. Gavi came on as well. So, of course, no Rafinha. Yes, I agree. Rashford is looking sharp, looking strong. And yeah, I think the way Rafinha's been playing, it is a loss. Rafinha is, we have the Rafinha from last season, but I think Marcus Rashford is filling in admirably. Experiment with the centre forward position, or didn't play Lewandowski, didn't play Ferran Torres, played Dani Olmo there, but it actually ended up Fermín López playing there. And he's an interesting player. I mean, he always has shots on goal. At times he's greedy or unaware of teammates in good positions. So that'd be interesting to see what Barcelona do in the Champions League match. Lewandowski, I presume, will come back in after being rested after international duty with Poland, and but a little bit of a lack of faith and a blow to the confidence of Ferran Torres that it wasn't him replacing Lewandowski.
Yes. Let's do the other game involving the team that's going to finish top four, Villarreal. Got a bit of stick at the end, didn't they? They lost 1-0 to own goal at Girona, and Renato Vega, wasn't it, went over and talked to the fans and was getting a bit of grief. I think football, I mean, I'm sorry to say, I know you're all football fans listening. Thank you for listening. Football fans are sometimes weird, aren't they? Honestly, it's like the third in the league, aren't
I
they?
know. Exactly. And they're going to finish top four. There's going to be that motivation issue now with Atleti are fine because they've got the Copa del Rey final and they're still in the Champions League. And motivation for those games isn't a problem. For Villarreal, they're cruising top four. And we're talking possibly top five is going to do it. So motivation is going to be an issue for Villarreal for the remainder of the season. How do they get that? Yes, let's finish above Atletico Madrid, who don't care where they finish. So not the bar isn't very high. And it is it's and Girona are hit and miss. I mean, earlier in this season I thought it was an absolute cert they were going to sack Michel. They didn't, they stuck with him, they're going to be safe. That doesn't guarantee it, this win. Pretty much does. Takes them on to 37 points, they're up to 12th position. They could look above them and think, oh, maybe that last European spot is a possibility. And Girona are hit and miss. They can be really bad, they can be really good. They've had some good wins, too many defeats this season, but they're going to be safe now.
Okay, that'll do for that one. So we'll do some of the let's do Oviedo, Sevilla. Talking about unhappy fans. Now, if you want unhappy fans with some justification, I will offer you Sevilla.
Or
Three in a
Oviedo,
row.
home fans. They haven't seen many goals.
Yes, it
But
was a good
they're
goal to
not
be fair, wasn't
unhappy.
it? They don't know what to happen, what to do when the ball gets to the back of the net. That's two consecutive home wins for Oviedo, isn't it? Both 1-0, thumping header, wasn't it, by Vinhas?
Good player. He's I'm pretty sure we'll see him in La Liga again next season. I think he's done more than enough. He's on loan from Leon, and he's I think he's done more than enough to suggest that teams that are in the league next season would look at him as a centre forward. Thumping header, Oviedo have been much better under Guillermo Almada, much better. And this is a it's going to be too late. There's 7 points from safety, 8 games to go, and it's probably too late. But it does pile the pressure on Sevilla. Luis Garcia Plaza must be he was all happy last week taking the. Doing the tourist pictures around Sevilla and doing the press conferences, and then all of a sudden he's getting abused by the fans when he gets back to the training ground, and the training ground's under attack from the ultras. So,
Welcome, Luis.
yeah, he's really thinking, surely they're not blaming me. And it was Tanguy Nianzou gets sent off in the 38th minute after they were 1-0 down, and it was kind of from then on, it was the obvious conclusion was Oviedo were going to hold on comfortably.
No shot on target for Sevilla in the game.
No.
So,
So the mood is low, very depressed. It's toxic when they play in their home stadium now. It's a problem. They're two above the relegation zone. Massive problem.
It's an interesting problem for fans, isn't it? In that you are, as we say, you pay a lot of money to go and watch football. You're entitled to your opinion. But I get it because you often hear managers talk about, could you just like not hammer us during the game and before the game? Because it does affect you, doesn't it? If you've got if you go into the atmosphere, so they've got Atleti Saturday. They'll be hoping, obviously, Atleti changed their team around a lot. Their games now, they're massive Sevilla's games. There's a the takeover that they want to happen, but they, they don't want to be in the second division, right? And
No.
they're one place, 1 point above it.
Exactly. No, it's a problem. It's a huge story. I mean, we've probably talked about them and compared them and Valencia all season to the two teams that you wouldn't normally expect to see. Although Valencia and Sevilla last season suffered, and they're suffering again this season. So this is going down to the wire, this one for Sevilla, definitely.
Right, let's do the other games at the bottom end then. So what have we got? Oh, Rayo played Friday night, didn't they? Got a 1-0. And again, it was against 10 men, wasn't it? Bigas got sent off, didn't he,
In the
for a
first half.
penalty? Yeah. So yeah, that's a long time to go, and it's a big game, wasn't it? We previewed all of these 6 pointers to come, and there's now literally 6 points between the two teams, right? I mean, you're not safe at 35 by any stretch. You're
No.
only 6 points above with eight to play, so a bad run can still ruin it for you. But Elche in the relegation zone, a couple adrift now.
I think they're the only team in La Liga without an away win. They've only got 4 points all season away from home. So it doesn't appear that's going to change. It has to, but it does, unless it changes, they're going to be in the bottom three with that kind of performances away from home. And Rayo are really good, but they just can't score a goal. Randy Enteca gets a goal, hasn't played much, and is, yeah, though it's a well-deserved win, but it could have been two, three, four. And it should have been, but it wasn't. It was just the solitary goal from Randy Enteca.
Arguably the best game was Valencia 2, Celta Vigo 3, although obviously Guido Rodriguez, we got two, didn't he, Guido Rodriguez.
Never scores.
The goal machine they've signed from the English Premier League. But the second one was 93rd minute, wasn't it? So it probably looks a bit healthier for Valencia than it was. So Celta are up to sixth place now. Two wins out of three. Yep, two wins out of three. And sort of catching Betis. Might as well do Betis at the same time because not a lot happened in the Betis game.
No, Betis gone six without a win. I mean, four draws, a couple of defeats, and fifth place is important now.
Well, it could be the
Really
Champions League, couldn't
important.
it? Because Spain are now second in that table, and obviously there's loads of teams still in it. So if they have another good round, that might be enough. Might be done. Might get that fifth place. Pro
It
probably
looks
will now.
Betis have struggled in recent seasons with European football and La Liga. And they've kind of, I mean, last season they got to the European Conference final, but it did take over their La Liga campaign. And kind of feel it's similar now, that they're firing on all cylinders in the Europa League, so the more prestigious competition. And as I say, it's six without a win now, and to draw nil at home to Espanyol because they've got the game against Braga, I think, coming up this week. That's the focus. And suddenly, Celta are breathing down their neck, literally 1 point behind.
They've got
Celta are really good to watch as well.
Braga tomorrow. I've just twigged.
I'm presuming there's another game in Portugal. I don't know. Are they at home? Betis against
They're
Braga?
at Braga on and it's an early kickoff on Wednesday. So they, I mean, not a lot happened in the game, was it? They should have beaten Espanyol, but they didn't. Espanyol still haven't won in the
It's
year.
a decent result, though, for Espanyol. It's not a win, but it's a decent result away from home. Gets them to, I mean, they're slipping down the table at 10th now with 38 points. So they're safe from relegation. But yeah, and no, it's a decent result for Espanyol. They were solid. They had as many chances as Betis. Competitive game. Yeah, it wasn't straightforward. Let's hang on for dear life for Espanyol.
Let's have a look at the other teams in the race for fifth, none of whom really are Champions League ready, I've got to say. Obviously, Real Sociedad, the much praised Real Sociedad, got a win against Levante. John Martin and Bryce Mendes with the goal Geddes almost broke the crossbar at
Yeah,
one point
they're a
as
good
well.
watch for El Sociedad at the moment. They've really, it's not just the fact they're getting results and the matter else. So it's, they were a good watch. Like Celta. Celta were a good watch at the moment as well. The goals Celta scored at the weekend to come from behind against Valencia were excellent. Mariba did well. Fer Lopez, great strike that was. Fredberg's looking on form. And likewise, Real Sociedad, they've got a super talented centre back who scores the first goal. 19-year-old John Martin, already being linked with Real Madrid, Barcelona, and clubs in the Premier League. Buyout clause of 50 million.
No,
Yeah, he looks the real deal.
Stay and play for Real Sociedad. Play every week. That's my sound advice to a young man.
Turn down those hundreds of thousands of pounds extra a week.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
You don't need it. He's not on the breadline, is he? At Real Sociedad. Getafe, how do you think they'll get on in the Champions League next season, Terry?
Well, they won't have this team, that's for sure. I mean, I had them down as favourites to get relegated because they didn't, Bordalás didn't have the tools at the first half of the season. He literally didn't.
I mean, literally days before the season, they had half a squad, didn't they? They signed, and they registered loads on deadline day, didn't they? Registered about half a dozen players on deadline day because it was all a mess. And now where are they now? Eighth, is it?
Because they went out and did some really good work. I mean, the two scorers in this game, Luis Vasquez, Martin Satriano, have completely transformed this team. Completely. And that was my issue. Mayoral has always been injured this season and for the past couple of seasons now. And they just didn't have, you know, looking at players up front and thinking, well, that's not the profile for Bordalás. It's not the type of centre forward he needs. And suddenly they bring in these two players, and they've had six wins, two draws, two defeats in the last 10. The two defeats are the two games they were down to 10 men early in the game against Sevilla and Atletico Madrid. So, I mean, if they get Champions League, then they might be able to afford to keep Luis Vasquez and Satriano. It's been. Actually, they're playing really well as well. I mean, the first goal at the weekend was a really well-constructed goal out the back, into the middle, down the flanks, across into the box. It was a really... So it's not just kick, bollock and bite. They're actually playing some decent football now.
27 goals they've scored this season. It's quite incredible, isn't it, to be where they are in the league. Alaves 2, Osasuna 2, 91st-minute penalty, rescues a point for Alaves, which is really handy, isn't it? Because that literally, you know, claws them to 15th above Mallorca and Sevilla.
Yep, and I thought they were a better team, if I'm being honest. And it was only right they got not the penalty, but something out of the match. Osasuna, this was a decent result for both teams, to be honest. Osasuna, they're still looking on the fringes of it. They're 38 points. They're thinking, well, we might be able to get a place in the, you know, if it's the Conference League, something like that. But, you know, not being patronising, but Osasuna would be a good participant for La Liga if they were to get that position. So Budimir gets his penalty. I wasn't sure it was a penalty. Victor Mignoff goes down. Looks an obvious one. When you see the replays, you're thinking, I can't see any contact there. Lucas Boye getting the penalty. I think it was Tony Martinez, wasn't it, who did the usual. Got touched, stayed down, wasn't getting up until VAR. He actually got up and was doing the VAR signal to the director's box. I don't know if they're there, but he did force them to look. And when you see it, it's similar to Gerard Martins. It's touched his foot. The defender touched his foot, and it was a foul. Given as a foul, and boy, he tucks it away. So Alaves, it's tough going for them, but I think they'll be all right.
Every point is crucial, isn't it? Let's hope that in the under-9s they're teaching kids how to win VAR penalties. It's crucial, isn't it? Yeah. And how to jump with their arms held by their own sides. Yeah. Not moving their arms as they jump. There we are. That will do. We'll stop there. Because we need to resume in 48 hours, like a championship footballer, Terry. We'll be back in a few hours' time to do another one, looking all tired. And so we'll be back with the Patreons Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And the massive European game. So we'll do the. We're going to come back Thursday, chat about the Champions League. So not the the Europa and Conference League games, and then we will be back for another round of La Liga, which starts on Friday with Real Madrid. So we'll see you all then, and take care, everybody, and we'll see you soon.